From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 24th day of June, 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist from the U of I, will join us to discuss Friday's acreage and grain stocks report. He says grain stocks will be important, but the acreage numbers for soybeans in particular may overshadow a whole bunch of everything else. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse in Chicago and discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. And it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, corn futures finished the lead option July 4.5 cents higher today at $4.46¾, September at $4.51¾, up 4¼, and December at $4.57¼, 3¾ higher. July beans up 6¼ at $9.09, November 9.32¾, 5¼ higher. January up 5¼ at $9.45½, and next year's July at $9.63¼, 5½ cents higher. The bean oil down 9 cents. Bean meal up $2 even. Wheat futures finished the lead option July for the soft red 12 cents higher at $5.38. And the hard red up 13 at $4.65½. Live cattle futures, June contract at $109.92½, up 37½. The August feeders down $1.90 at $131.77½. And lean hogs off $3.40 at $72.85. Now join us to take a look at these numbers and to try to help us figure out what this all means in the grand scheme of things. It's Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, let's start in the grains today, but with the wheat, because it's the one that moved the most. Up 12 in the soft red and hard red up 13. Do we have a good handle on why?
You're the nine, Todd. You're the nine.
I do like that excuse. That's a good one. It works.
We predicted this clear back last winter, so it's fall. I love when a plan falls together here. our best news is the French wheat, the European wheat was sharply higher in overnight and morning trade. I think the U.S. market followed suit. Whether there's some export business taking place, we'll soon find out. But there's a little weather concerns with the French wheat and even in Germany and so forth. I think that was a little bit of a callus to get the ball rolling. As far as here in the U.S., I've heard some fairly good wheat yields down around Mount Vernon and 80 bushels the acre and fairly good quality, but there might be concern of the quality or ability to get the wheat out now that we're seeing monsoonal rains consume the southern half of the corn belt in through here, and I wouldn't be surprised to maybe keep an eye on the harvest in the good excellent category, see if there's a little signal there. It won't probably show up on today's report, but next week's report.
Speaking of that, what do we know about today's weekly crop progress report as it relates to both progress for maybe planting and conditions?
Well, as far as the trade estimates, corn planted, the average guess is about 96% complete. We pretty well know the corn planter's been put away more than 100%. Now, whether that's prevent plant or how you want to do the math on that, that'll take some time as we move forward in through here. As far as conditions, 59% good to excellent. There's a range of 58 to 61%. Last week, we were 59%. Good to excellent. A lot of comments on some of this crop looks fairly good, but it's very, very small. There's going to be a lot of knee-high corn by the 4th of July on this later planted crop. We'll see how the maturity moves forward here. Bean-wise, 88% of the beans as a nation, the range is anywhere from 86 to 91%. Last week we were at 77%, so they felt we probably saw a jump of 11%. But we're starting to enter the time window when this is normally double crop beans going in for the most part, and those very rarely turn out. So we'll see how this progress materializes, but the conditions on beans, about like corn, 59% good to excellent. The range is anywhere from 56 to 63% good to excellent. These are just benchmarks, talking points. The bottom line is the crop is behind, and it's very, very small compared to past history.
When you look forward to the end of the week, and we'll get to that cattle on feed report as we wrap up here, because we have some of the USDA reports to go through. But we do have the grain stocks numbers and the acreage report yet to be released. That'll happen at 11 o'clock Friday morning. Do we have trade estimates to look forward to at this time?
Are we going to pick what the USDA is going to say or what the actual numbers are going to say? You know, it's kind of a wide range. As far as corn acres go, I think the trade's dialed in on corn anywhere from 85 to 90 million acres versus, you know, the last number of 89 and the original 92.8. Soybean acreage range is probably in this 84 to 85 million acres. So we'll see how that falls. The stocks are going to be huge. They're, you know, we came off a big crop year. Corn stocks expected to be about 5.2 billion bushels, and the bean stocks close to about 1.8 billion bushels versus about 1.2 a year ago. Even a big wheat number of maybe over a billion bushels. So that stocks number will probably be just a little larger than what the trade's looking for.
It'll reconfirm to the trade what it already knows about the marketplace if those numbers come in. How much of a cap on upside potential is it?
If it comes in at the upper end of the range, I think it's a short-term pullback or a short-term situation where we could see a little more of a little correction in through here. But long-term, I think we need to see the market, in, particularly on corn, enter a rationing phase. We're not high enough to slow demand or ration the remaining supplies. I've heard of situations where there's some $5 corn bids out there, and there's not a whole lot of takers, for say. I know some guys say, yeah, I'll take that, but for the most part, we need to move the market higher to slow this demand side down, and we're not quite there yet. How high to go? I would believe December corn futures probably need to move to 5.525. And November bean futures actually probably need to move up closer to $10.
How possible you think that is in the short term?
That's a great question. Short term, this week we'll probably consolidate. If we're going to get something going, I believe it will be next week as we enter, get end of the month, end of the quarter out of the way, and get these reports out of the way on Friday. Then next week's July already, and we should see some new money be freed up to come into the commodity sector. And I think that might be the start of the process. Another time event to watch, we went through two time events last week, the full moon on Monday, and we went through the first day of summer on Friday. We got the acreage and stocks report this week, but the following week is 4th of July weekend. Sometimes you see trend changes around these holidays.
Yeah, so a couple of things before we get to the livestock here. Old and new crop corn, and I'm thinking about sales because the timing makes a big difference. We're getting to that point where old crop corn, you're kind of hoping for the rally, and with new crop, you want it to hold off a bit, maybe quite a while, but until you get an idea of what your crop looks like in the field, unless you don't have very much sold up front, and I suspect that's already the case. But what should producers watch? What do you need to have them do in each particular case, old and new crop corn?
Well, an old crop corn, it's been a windfall in through here. If you remember last fall, we had extremely wide basis. Basis has improved dramatically in through here. There's some pretty hot cash bids around. I think you just got to kind of shop around and capture and look for a good cash bid or firm basis to take advantage of it. We've had producers aren't moving hardly anything right now. They want to see how their crop materializes here as we get into the growing season. But I think you might want to move a little here as we go and do some type of replacement on paper. As far as new corn goes, you know, He's 20%, 30% sales, of all of a sudden 40, 50% sales, if not 100% sale if you had prevent plant. We still like the Kissmith method and put a price floor under you and just let the upside run here for a while until we get into mid part of July and kind of see where we are for bushels and yield potential.
Yeah, we may have to wait longer than that. I was looking at some of the corn crop, and gosh, I'm thinking we might not get into, it might be August before we have a chance to really think about it.
Wide drops, you can drop a little nitrogen on it, you'll be okay.
I was just thinking about when it's going to silk. It's going to be late July, early August.
October. Now, my weather source says it's going to be cool here for about 30 to 45 days, so it's going to take some heat here to get this stuff going.
You keep pushing it back, man. That's not going to make it any better, I don't think.
It's a problem. Okay. It's frustrating. It's a battle.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so that cattle on feed report Friday afternoon, what did it tell us? Anything?
The cattle on feed report showed we had a few more numbers than what the trade was looking for. On feed, 102%. The average guess is about 101.3. Placements were 97. They were looking for about 96. Marketing's 101 versus 100.8. Just slightly bigger numbers. Beef demand continues to be fairly decent. We've seen the market sell off quite a bit from this last winter's high. But we look for beef to kind of hang in here and build a base. And compared to the pork, pork's disturbing. We've dropped $30 off the highs that we had last winter. We are now seeing pork futures the summer months below where we were last fall, winter, when the Chinese news hit the market and sent the market sharply higher. So that's kind of a concern. Pork weights, carcasses are heavier. We're seeing more hogs come in through here. So it's going to be important to get this Chinese news back positive and ship some of these pork carcasses to Asia.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very good. Take care.
You too. That is Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, all eyes are on Osaka, Japan, as President Donald J. Trump heads to the G20 gathering at the end of this week, where he'll meet with President Xi Jinping of China for a high-stakes discussion on trade and other issues. A breakthrough is not expected, but White House officials say it's possible that Mr. Trump could be persuaded not to slap new tariffs on Chinese goods. Throughout Mr. Trump's high-profile negotiations with China, North Korea, Iran, and other nations, the president has consistently projected patience, both, it seems, for strategic reasons and as a way to paper over the slow pace of progress. The president's focus on bilateral trade agreements has left him increasingly isolated from key U.S. allies. That is likely to be pretty apparent during the G20 gathering. Well, the Trump administration's recent move to allow year-round sales of 15% ethanol will not make up for the gallons lost to small refiner exemptions from the renewable fuel standard, the National Biodiesel Board has warned EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler in a letter. The group homed in on a quote in the Des Moines Register earlier this month from Wheeler, who said that by allowing E15 sales all year, it will help make up the difference for any small refinery exemptions going forward. Now, the biodiesel trade group begs to differ. I must remind you that the E15 waiver will not provide market growth for biodiesel and renewable diesel, wrote Kurt Kovarek. He's the group's head of federal affairs. EPA says it's required to repair the demand destruction for biodiesel and renewable diesel resulting from what he calls the EPA's flood of unwarranted, retroactive, small refinery exemptions. Oh, and this one final news note for the day on the global stage. China's former agricultural vice minister has been elected the director general of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, market specialist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. We're looking forward to Friday, Mr. Hubbs, and the USDA reports. Acreage and grain stocks are both out. You did an article today on Monday for the FarmDoc Daily website about both of those. What did you explore?
Yeah, I was just looking at soybean stocks and acreage. When we come into the Friday reports, by my estimates, we're looking at June 1st soybean stocks about 1.87 billion bushels. I think it'll be close to that, depending on the residual. But that's not going to be the news on Friday. It's going to be the acreage report, and I think that'll swamp any kind of information in the stocks. And we're looking at carrying out a record ending stocks this market here in soybeans, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. So we're coming to the supply side, and just how many acres of beans are we going to see planted? The last few weeks, I've been sort of thinking it'll be a wash between switching acres and prevent plant acres. Would be around the 84.6 million acres USDA had in March for planting. But after the last couple of weeks of weather, I'm leaning more 2 to 3 million acres less of soybeans this year. I think we're going to bust through the record 2.23 million acres of prevent plant 2015. There's just too many acres left in the eastern corn belt, and this weather is just atrocious for planting. And you may see folks get out there and plant when we get close to July, but at some point you're just going to stop planting, and I don't think we're going to get those 8+ million acres in Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio planted this year. And when we take into account, you know, we're behind in some other states as well. It could be more acres, but it's hard to say right now. I know a lot of folks got out there and planted corn in the first few weeks of June. I know it was a tough decision. There's a lot of uncertainty around policy. I still think a substantial amount of acres may have gotten switched over to soybeans. And I think this acreage report will give us the first indication. I don't think it's going to be a very good indication of where soybean acres end up, but I think it's going to send us in the right direction. We'll see.
What does it do to price?
Depends on what the number is, of course, but yeah, if it's down, I think the market's priced in some acreage loss in soybeans already. It would take a really severe supply hit to support upper 8, low 9 soybean prices, considering what we're carrying into the 1920 marketing year. I feel like the market's priced in a decent yield hit and a decent acreage hit already. Now, the yield could be atrocious this year in soybeans. We're planting a significant amount of crop in basically double crop conditions, and you should expect a significant yield hit from that. So I've started fading soybean yield. I'm below USDA by quite a chunk on soybean yield, and I'm thinking 2 to 3 million acres as well. Even under those scenarios, if those turn out to be true, you know, we're still probably carrying out 750 million bushels at 1920.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
That's Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Let's turn our attention now to what's been happening in the weather forecast. We're joined by Mark Russo. He's in Risk Pulse in Chicago. Mark, so far today, it's been a little cool to start the morning. We had some rainfall again. We have some sunshine, and it's going to get warmer. Sounds like spring rather than summer, but we're in the summer months. It's kind of nice out at the moment. What do you see for the next week or so?
As we look out for the next week, well, two main takeaways. Number one is that temperatures will be now closer to back to seasonal levels here. And if anything, even a few degrees warmer than normal in areas of the western and northwestern Corn Belt. So what that'll equate to are high temperatures in the 80s and even some low 90s. And then from a minimum temperature standpoint, actually still a lot of relative humidity and higher dew points around. And that's going to keep minimum temperatures or overnight minimum temperatures elevated. So in general, you're talking about 60s and even some, you know, low 70s minimum temperatures as we go through the week. But yeah, quite a change from what we've seen in recent weeks, where we saw large sections of the central U.S. actually being unseasonably cold.
Hey, speaking of large sections of the U.S., I was watching, because I always do watch all of the U.S., and there was snowfall in Wyoming over the weekend. That was just wild.
Yeah, some of the higher elevations in Wyoming, even adjacent areas of Colorado, saw some snow, and that has still been a persistent theme as we moved into this middle part of June. Again, not unheard of, especially at some of the higher elevations, but nonetheless, with this upper level low that was in place over that area this past weekend, that was enough to generate snow, or it had enough cold air to produce some totals here, minor totals across those areas. Not expected to move east at all.
That's good. Hey, back to the growing season at hand. When you get into next week and then the month of July, which I suppose is next week, what do we see?
Yeah, well, the other takeaway, we talked about temperatures from a rainfall outlook standpoint, certainly getting back into a more kind of normal mode, which hasn't been much of any kind of normalcy recently. And so there will be rain coming through, but it will be lighter. It will be a bit less frequent. And that's true not only this week, but out looking out into next week as well. So with that, again, not getting into any extended dry stretches, but certainly not going the route of any additional heavy rainfall, such as what we've seen here lately, even just this past weekend, seeing some more rounds of heavy rainfall.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
You're welcome, Todd.
That is Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Well, let's turn our attention now to what's been happening in the cash grain market. We're joined by Amy Sage. She is at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Amy. Thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure, Todd.
Tell me about conditions in your draw area.
Yeah, so even though it doesn't feel like it, I think for the most part, we are in one of the more fortunate areas right around Champaign. As we were just talking, the northern part of our draw territory has been less fortunate, in the Pax and Gibson City area. But as you get around Champaign and to the south and to the east, really moving along okay. Of course, everything's late, but feeling pretty fortunate. Northern Vermilion County was a little bit behind, but they've caught up here as far as planting goes for the most part. So again, late, but for the most part, got a majority of the crop in. And a lot of what we're seeing is nitrogen on the first planted corn and some spraying getting done. So we're looking for warmer temperatures, of course, to help move this thing along and get a little bit further in heat units. But besides that, we are feeling pretty lucky, albeit everything's very small.
And very quickly, what are your bids for the day?
You bet. Our cash corn bid today is 442. That's five under the July. Fall corn is 457 across the scale. That's option the D's. Cash soybeans, 867 today, and fall beans at 878.
Thanks so much. Amy Sage is with the Andersons. Hey, thanks for listening to today's edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media and University of Illinois Extension. Don't forget you can find us online and listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. It's really simple and quite easy to do. Visit our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. You can find the opening market report, the midday, mid-morning, and the closing market report there, as well as Commodity Week. Again, it's online at willag.org, willag.org. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.